you're soft, you're sloppy. They calling me pop. I'm rolling in bands, riding around and I beat up jalop.
Hey, don't.
Bros wanna cop, but they are just not on me. I'm up in the club, stacking the dubs, stuck in a lobby. I'm hot like sauce, you soft like balsa. You ain't heard of me? Well, you probably are.
Ask about
it. Nice to meet you, so good to see you. Bros wanna act hard, they need to take it easy. Cause you soft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, man. Hey. Hey. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Hey, how you doing? Joe. Hey, man. How you doing? How you doing? My name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer. I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress. I'm also a writer, but today I am a podcaster, and across from me in the cell, in the containment unit that is in the that part of the studio.
The insane asylum.
Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
How you doing? Hey. This is like my new favorite tag team, although I also still like New Day. I haven't deserted them, but I'm just into all the tag teams in WWE right now.
A lot of stuff has been happening in this past several weeks. Took a little break, taking a little easy, taking that time to relax, to think about stuff. Because, you know, when it's time to put on this show, we're in it. We're in it nonstop, man, and it's beginning. It is beginning. We are a month away from Awesome Con.
And even less than that, we have Tidewater Comic Con.
So we got some stuff happening, man. We're going out there living life. I want to go ahead and say thank you for everyone that attended the show, the Monday Mistress performance at the State Theater as part of the Nova International Film Festival. We won!
How does it feel to win your first ever Battle of the Bands?
Monday Mistress won the Battle of the Bands, first ever Battle of the Bands at the Nova International Music and Film Festival. I'm pretty excited. I didn't even know. I thought we were going to flat out. I just go there trying to put on an awesome show, and to win it means something, because I didn't think I was going to win. I was, you know, I was quoted on saying that we're probably not going to win. We're probably not going to win. I was telling everyone that. I told the band that. It's like, we can go in, we can rock, we're probably not going to win. Because, I don't know. We're a fresh band. We're as fresh as can be. And there's a lot of other bands that did great performances there. You know, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. But we went out there, played our songs. All the songs that we wrote with our hearts and played
and
with our hearts.
And you guys played no cover songs.
No cover songs. Why? I mean, we, you know.
Well, there were other bands that had covers, so maybe that's why you won, because you were more original.
The decision is not up to me, but I just know that, like, ownership, you know me, I'm a big fan of ownership. There are times where we do play some covers, and we put our own little spin on it, do our little thing, but, you know, we wanted to go out there and show our best, so we went out there swinging heavy with the tunes that we created. But also, massive thank you to all those guys. Maybe we'll get people from Monday Mistress on this show to talk about just stuff. But definitely check them out, mondaymistress.com. Check us out. I play bass for that band. That's what I do.
How you doing?
How are you doing? That's really what it's what it comes down to. But ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Carolyn's News.
Yes. I did like listening to that intro song. It made me pumped. But now it's time for the news. And
How you doing?
Yes, how you doing? So, we already touched on some upcoming dates really briefly, but just to give you the exact dates and the technical information in the news, mark your calendars for May 21st and 22nd. That is Tidewater Comic Con at the Virginia Beach Convention Center. And we're excited because we've never done this show before, so we're going to give it a try. And then a week goes by.
How you doing?
But then June 3rd, 4th, and 5th is Awesome Con.
How you doing?
In the Washington, D.C. Convention Center, because Awesome Con is pretty awesome. So if you live anywhere within the D.C. area, I would say if you live anywhere within 2 hours drive of Washington, D.C., you should be at Awesome Con. If you're not there, then there's a problem.
How you doing?
So join us then on June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And we have a whole bunch of panels, too, coming up. They haven't released all that information yet because they're still nailing down the schedule. But we will... it's safe to say that we will be doing a live Carolyn and Joe Show podcast. This very podcast that you're listening to. We will be live at AwesomeCon.
And when we mean live, we don't mean we'll be recording at a booth somewhere. We don't mean that we'll be on the floor or at our table at the Curl Studio table. We mean that we're going to be live in front of a full audience there, in like a show, a live show of the Carolyn and Joe Show, like a panel, just like that, just like how Kevin Smith does his show on that at the, you know, his live talk. We're doing ours as well, and we're just as jam-packed.
Yes, and we most likely will have a special guest. I don't want to, you know, be too quick about it and announce it right now. So we might be able to announce it next week, so stay tuned to that. But it will be exciting, and we are pumped, because last year we got to have a really awesome, awesome person that played Tara from Buffy the Vampire Slayer on our show. And so that was really
That's
exciting.
That's right, Amber Benson.
Amber Benson.
Amber wrote this.
So it was really exciting.
If you guys, if you saw that, that was an amazing. That was actually just like one. She blew my mind how amazing of a guest she was. She brought it.
And not only is she, I mean, she obviously is known for Buffy, but she also is a writer and director on her own right, doing her own films such as She-Venge. And she's out there and she's doing it. She's working and she's hustling out there, and I admire that. And she really knows her stuff. So it's exciting to be able to talk to somebody on both ends, in front of the camera, behind the camera. She knows what's up. And so this year, you know, we will announce shortly, soon, within the next week or so, who our guest will be. So that is, again, AwesomeCon. Please come to AwesomeCon and check us out at DC Convention Center. This is June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. And then later in the year, we are going to be at Baltimore Comic Con, we are going to be at Small Press Expo, and we are going to be at New York Comic Con, all those heavy hitters. And we also have the Blood Drive on October 29th, but that's later, and then of course it will sneak up on us, and all of a sudden it will be October, and I'll be like, what? But yeah, we're already well into 2016, which is blowing my mind, as always. The time is just flying away. But yeah, we've been up to a lot of really cool things in the past week or two since we've last had a podcast. And I guess we can fill people in on what we've been up to. I feel like we had the Nova Fest that you mentioned. You won Battle of the Bands, and also a feature film that you worked on called Try.
That's right.
It's called TRI, Try.
And I was the creative supervisor.
And that won actually Best Picture. Wow, that's amazing. So like you're like a straight up winner. You're winning.
Yeah,
you're winning life, Joe.
I had lunch with the director who's been on this podcast many times. People call him Jay. I call him Calvin Jameson. Calvin J. Jameson. You know, from Richmond Base, he was supporting the Virginia filmmaking scene. He directed that, and he was gracious enough to give me the creative supervisor position, which, you know, it's another directorial spot, but we couldn't claim it as a directorial spot because of my directorial analysis, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, yeah, but it's cool. You got to work on, like,
I was able to direct, and I was able to see scenes that I directed in there that I did, you know. And
not only that, you got to attend the premiere, and the premiere was sold out at the Angelica Film Festival.
That's right. At the Angelica Theater, the Nova International Tuesday screening was absolutely sold out.
It was absolutely sold out. Not a ticket was to be found. People were looking for tickets on the floor. They were just like there was a waiting list, Joe. There was a waiting list to get in a film that you worked on. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And the vibe was there. Some of the actors were there wearing their gowns, and it was like a straight up red carpet upstairs. And you were also in charge of the red carpet festivities.
Well, I was definitely hired. It's interesting because I don't plan my life like this. This stuff sort of happens, you know. I try to take as many opportunities as I possibly can. So when Monday Mistress submitted to be part of the Battle of the Bands, and you know, we're accepted, and then you know, then I found out that Tried, the movie that I was creative supervisor on, that got in, that was submitted and got in as well. And then of course at the same time I want to do as much as possible. And then I was hired to do the red carpet coverage with Megan Caulfield, which is who's also an amazing guest. She was also in the Awesome Con commercial, you know, and I worked with her. So all types of situations happening there.
Yeah. So you were like overlapping in all aspects of music and film. So that's pretty cool.
It's,
I mean, it is a film and music festival. Yeah. So it's and it's Nova. So, I mean, that's where we are. So,
which I think is a great film festival and a great location and all that. And I really believe in that. It's a great thing to have. And I love being a part of it. And it's, you know, a great theater as well. Mosaic District is a up and coming place. And the Angelica Theater has always treated us really nice, really nice, really nice, really
it's
nice theater.
It's a very nice theater.
So being part of that, gotta always be thankful for that.
Yeah. And we also, what else has happened? Jeez, we've been to...
Prince died. That's what happened.
I mean, yes, we have Prince. That was like April 21st. Prince died. And not only did Prince die, but there was like a whole bunch of deaths in a row too.
It's crazy because it's tough, you know what I mean? You want to be on the button with conversations or hot topic news as that happen, you know, with the podcast or whatever. But you know, like, there's so many things just happen.
China died also.
What's amazing is that China dies, you know, in the morning, and then also, or she, I mean, the news that she died happened.
It came out in the morning.
Yeah, and then Prince died, and it just blew away that news. Yeah. She would have been the number... I immediately, on all the feeds, it goes from people saying, like, China was my hero, or not my hero, but you know, I remember watching. Yeah, it's like people are like, I remember watching China. I was so sad that she died.
I didn't realize that China was actually following me on Twitter. Like, I went to her because, you know, on Twitter it has like the trending topics, and you click on China, and then it goes to her Twitter account, and then it said that she was following me.
But it's incredible when you see first to go. This is how fast, like, really the stories move to what's the highest hierarchy, what's the big hierarchy. Is that you go China? And that lasts for, you know, lasts for a few hours. Then, bam, Prince.
Boom.
Prince then just wipes out all
Prince is like...
Anyone else's death is just
like
nullified.
2 weeks of Prince.
It's like no one else died but Prince that week. That's really what happened.
Well, Patton Oswalt's wife died. That was like a sudden death, I think, in her sleep. I still don't know exactly how that happened. But that feels pretty devastating. Like, I actually feel like more hurt for Patton than Prince, actually. Because, I mean... I like Prince and all, but I'm not as, like, emotionally disturbed by Prince's death. And he died in his elevator in his house. Like, what? Like, what's up with that? Like, dying in your elevator. And doesn't he have, and, like, he has, like, a lyric about something about elevators. So then that's what made me kind of, like, freak out at first. But I don't know the exact lyric. I'm not, like, as educated as Prince as other people, but he did die, and I heard that a lot of people were sad about Prince. Were you sad about Prince, Joe?
I believe a lot of people were sad.
I mean,
Prince
died. People were like really
nothing against Patton Oswalt's wife, but like, I mean, that's.
But people don't know her as well, you know.
Well,
but
because Prince has influenced so many people, so many genres, just music in general. That if he's, you know, he's already, you know, the influence alone and this the visibility. I mean, that's really why when he died, it's like that just wipes out anything else that happened that week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not really as impacted as Prince. I actually felt more about David Bowie, but, you know, I can understand why Prince is pretty impactful, because there's been a lot of really major deaths this year with music, and then also Glenn Frey from the Eagles. There's just, like, so... I feel like a lot of music, it's like open doors now. It's like, please come fill these spaces, because we're losing these musicians. And also just the music industry in general is kind of like... not as fresh as it used to be, and it just feels very much like churned out. Like, they're like, this is what people want to hear. They're kind of like marketing.
Well, what's really interesting is you have these pretty much these you know, these trailblazers who created a sound. You know, it's tough to diagnose exactly what new sound is being created today, like from nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But then you have guys like Prince, like Bowie, who created something on their own, made it absolutely their own personality, their own way. There can only be a Bowie. There can only be a Prince. You know what I mean? Those are the guys that we're losing. And it's a reminder of almost, you got to have absolute individualism to stand out. And the fact that these people have passed away, these musicians who were so instrumental in being individuals and creating their own sound, it should be a wake-up call in a way today. It's like, okay, these guys have opened the door. They're passing in a way has opened the door for you. But the door has always been open, but it's like it should be an eye-opener that, like, hey, man, what did you do? What did you contribute, you know? And that's really what it's all about. It's like, well, I mean, let me contribute that sound. You know, David Bowie contributed that sound. Prince contributed beyond the sound. You know, he created a persona. You know, he created the mystery.
He created a symbol.
But yeah, like...
But I guess he was forced to create a symbol.
But, like, in a way, it's like... Prince was never a guy to give you too much information. You know, that's what his marketing and that's what his value is all about. He wasn't like, I'm going to show you every bit of my life. He was like, he was all about that mystique. He was all about, like, you know, all about pretty much shutting himself away from everyone else and then just letting the music and the persona become something. It's very much pro wrestling in that way.
Yeah, I admired that about Prince.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It didn't look like he was always, like, starving for attention.
Yeah, he wasn't that guy that's just like, oh, look at me. He's like, well, he's more like, all right, if you're not looking, you're missing something, but I'm not going to go and beg for you to look. You know what I mean?
But then it's kind of hard not to look at him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because that's what he is. Yeah. He's like, that's what it is. It's like, well, if you're not looking, you're missing something amazing. You know, and, you know, he would say, like, and that was what was cool about those, you know, when Prince died, you'd hear all these musicians talk about him, and they would, and what's great is that everyone would have something that surprised people to find out, you know, like the conversation he had with I forget the name, but the dude from ZZ Top, mm-hmm. like he was surprised that he would.
You mean the beard?
Yeah, but he was so.
I don't know their names. I just called them the guys with the beard.
Well, it's ZZ Top. But I forget which one of the guys told the story about a conversation he had with Prince, like one late night. I think maybe it was in Chicago. I'm not exactly sure, but you know, like, all of a sudden he was there, like, at a bar, and I guess one of Prince's, like, henchmen says, like, hey, Prince wants to talk to you. And then, like, he looked over and Prince is, like, by himself, like, in a booth. And
like in a shadowy
like
corner.
In a shadow corner, like, by himself. You can't mess with... That's what's so awesome, that persona. And then, you know, he was wondering, like, you know, the ZZ Top guy is, like, taken aback. He wants to talk to me. Then he told the story about how amazing the conversation was because it wasn't about, like, oh, the persona and stuff like that. It wasn't about all this. It was about Prince wanted to talk about guitars. He wanted to talk about tone and... and guitar soloing. It wasn't about, like, being flashy. It was like he was about that music, and that's one of the things that surprised him. He didn't know that's what that conversation was going to be about. He actually didn't know. He thought it was going to be some sort of sex crazed, you know what I mean? But you never know. And he surprised people a lot.
Yeah, and even though I wasn't, like, you know, I don't have any Prince albums or memorabilia or anything, so I'm not necessarily a Prince fan per se, but I admire him. And but when I did find out that he died, I was shocked. I was like, what, Prince died? Like, he's too young to die.
I absolutely, you know? Was shocked. I actually, in my mind, I was like, I thought Prince was forever. I thought that was going to be one of the guys where it was actually going to be forever.
Because he always felt that, like, his
I don't know, I didn't really,
and all
I actually never, like, people were saying stuff, I just didn't dig into it. I was like, it's too late, man, he's already
gone. But
they
take a couple weeks to test it, so maybe the test should be coming out. Well, it's weird because I was doing a research unrelated to Prince, but I basically googled the word DNA today because I wanted to just, like, research, like, how DNA looked. Because I know they always represent that little spiral intertwined visually. So I was like, wait, what actually is, like, DNA? I was just doing, like, occasionally I'll do, like, a random Google search about something that I want to learn about. And I typed in DNA, and one of the news stories related to DNA is that I guess the, I don't know, the authorities or whatever wants to actually get Prince's DNA just in case people come forward and say that they're related to Prince so that they can test
the lineage.
Yeah.
What's amazing is, like, the Prince actually, the news that he died was the day we released our last podcast. And, like, on that day, when we recorded that podcast, I was like getting down when I was making the playlist or the music that you guys hear in the background. That was the bed music. I actually included like a Kiss song into it called Kiss, and because I was just like, you know, I've been getting down with Prince for like the past, like really a lot for this past year, and I don't know, you know, it sort of was good escapism music for me, but like, you know, it was just, I don't know, maybe that's how it was, but that's how it became. But I didn't know he was gonna die, but I was like, hey, I'm gonna put this song in because it's freaking badass, you know. And that's the song you hear after the Carolyn's Noose music is the Prince's Kiss, and you know, it just sort of shows you how it was still relevant to me. So that's why it was really a big shock. And, you know, Prince was just on New Girl like last year. And, you know, so he was just toured. He just played in Baltimore over the last summer. So yeah. It's really just a thing of like, you know, these people go, you never know when these people go. You got to take the opportunity to do what you need to do.
Yeah, it's like now if you ever wanted to see Prince in concert, it's too late. And that's like what freaks me out about like these concerts, because I've pretty much have seen everybody that I do want to see. I kind of do, for some reason, want to see Katie Lang. I feel like I need to see her. And there's probably more that I'm like not thinking about. But we have been to a lot of really good concerts in the past couple of years. And just since we've recorded the last show, I think we've been to like, well, maybe one was like right before it, but we did see Good Charlotte at 9:30 Club, and we also went to the Nashville, you know, the ABC Nashville. It's kind of like the soap opera version of how things go in Nashville on ABC Network. They do a touring show of the actual show, so the actors are singing the songs from the show, and they're also starting their own solo careers. So we saw that, and it's pretty amazing to actually say that you saw those people that you see on the TV, and it's always exciting to actually witness the talent in front of you. Like, you know, you see it on TV, and that always feels like sometimes it could be produced or something, but then when you actually see it in person, you're like, this whole cast is full of so much talent. So, like, everyone in the Nashville cast is super talented, great voices, great timing, very, very, very awesome musicians out there. So like I don't know where the show is headed, but I know a lot of them are going on to solo careers, and it should be exciting to follow them and see how it works to transition from like being an actor who plays a country music superstar and then trying to become a country music superstar on your own. Like, I feel like life imitates the art a lot in Nashville, so if you follow those characters and those actors, a lot of it overlaps big time. So it's kind of amazing, because now we're going to actually watch it happen in real life. But yeah, and I also did want to see Good Charlotte at 9:30 Club, because I have probably seen Good Charlotte more than any other musical act. Like, I think I counted, and it was like 7 or 8 times. I'll have to like actually go back and like officially count, but I've seen them so many times. Like, I'd say to see a band 7 or 8 times is pretty hardcore, because, I mean, they have been around for a while, so that's almost like seeing them like every 2 or 3 years, or every time they come into town almost. But, and we've seen them in like so many different venues, like 9:30 Club is obviously, if you guys don't live in DC area, 9:30 Club is basically like the jam where you're at, the main music club that represents the city. And we've seen them there. We've seen them at HF Festival. So HFS was, I don't even know if they're still around anymore, because I know they made a comeback, but it's basically an alternative music radio station that was on in the DC area, WHFS. And they used to have this big festival that had a lineup of like 30 bands. And that's really exciting, because we saw Good Charlotte there. I saw Good Charlotte before they even got signed. They were opening for Lit at 9:30 Club. We've seen them at universities. We've seen them at like George Mason and VCU. And just like, you know, I feel like I've seen them in all stages of their career and been following them for a very long time. So I feel like if the ticket's $30, I might as well go see them one more time. I mean, it's a good show, and it's fun, man. Their show is so fun. I feel like I'm full of life when I go to see them. And this time, we're up in the balcony at 9:30 Club, because it's kind of two-tiered. And not really in the pits as much and getting bounced around. So it was nice actually to see something from up further point of view, because at first I was like, am I going to be missing out if I'm not like in the front row getting like my ribs knocked up to the barrier? But it, like, after a while, like, I feel like, I don't want to say I'm an old person yet, but...
Well, just by saying that, that's what you're saying.
No, but, like, I don't want to say that. Because
just by mentioning, even saying those phrases, you're pretty much saying that you are. You know that, you know that, right?
I know, but that's why I was like, no.
Yeah, you don't want to say that, but just saying that phrase already by saying you don't want to say that is already saying that you think you are.
Oh, I don't think I'm at that level yet.
You already think you are. Because why would you mention it?
Because it was getting hurt last time I went up there that close.
But you're not a physical person anyway. I don't think that was ever really your thing, to be up there, to be in the pit. You know what I mean? I don't think that's really your personality to be there, or your physicality to be. You're not really a physical push around type of person. You know, you're more just like a sit in a chair and wait quietly.
Oh.
What?
I wish I was more tough.
Why?
Because I want to be able
to... If that's not how you are, then why be that?
I know, but maybe just a little bit more.
How so? Why? Would you...
You're picturing me like a roly-toly person that's like, I'm just going to sit here.
How have you not?
I'm just going to be a couch potato.
How have you... Well, when it comes to those types of environments, what would be the environment you want?
I mean, ideal concert, actually, is probably like just right in the front, sitting.
Yeah, see? Exactly. That's exactly what I said.
I don't mind standing. I don't mind standing.
That's exactly what I said. That's not your personality to rough and rowdy it up to listen to some rock and roll band.
I mean,
you
want
to rock
and
out to that Celine Dion ballad. That's how it is.
Oh, no. I don't even have any Celine Dion albums.
No, but you know what I'm saying? That's not really been your environment to, you know, that's the type of music that you like. You like the sitting style.
But why would I sit at a Good Charlotte show?
No, but what I'm saying is that...
I would never sit.
What I'm saying is that's the choice of environment. Is that what you want?
Probably. Probably just like a nice place where you can... Like a Bluebird Cafe, where you can just sit and like listen. Like I like the Bluebird or like Birchmere. I just want to sit and watch and listen.
Yeah, but you know the different types of music go with that type of environment.
Yeah. That's true. But then it was funny because, like, I noticed somebody who we actually know, you know, I wouldn't say we're, like, great friends with, but somebody I see a few times a year. After you posted the Good Charlotte video, which Joe has, like, this excellent video of, like, the whole crowd down below at 930 Club, like, a sea of people. And this one guy, he wrote, like, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was just like, is this Good Charlotte still a thing? He's like, no offense to people that like them, but really? Like that type of thing.
Oh, did someone write that?
Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I get...
Did I respond to that? Or was that on my video?
You did respond
to it. What did I respond
to? You
with?
Said something like, oh yeah, because then he went on to be like, he's like, you know, that's cool if you like them, but like, you can't really say that you're like hardcore.
And oh, then, yeah, they're saying, like, I just couldn't get over the thing that's saying they were all punk, you know, yeah. I can't get over that. And I was like, dude, does it even matter anymore?
Yeah, you wrote, like, I don't really think, like, it matters or something like that.
And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, does any of that actually really matter?
Well, it's just, like, labeling it. Well, they said that they're punk, and this is not really punk.
It's funny how, like, all, like, anything of claiming, like, punk and hardcore is as pointless in today's society as it ever can be, because it's like, oh, it's the same as saying, oh, you're not nerdy enough, or your cosplay costume is not 100%, or you're not really 100% punk rocker, or you're not really just into indie comics.
It's
you like a little bit mainstream.
It's like
all that shit is now as transparent and as trivial as it possibly can be.
It's
someone
like,
saying that just shows that they're old.
Well, it's like, oh man, you made that Superman costume? Oh man, where'd you get that red cape? Oh, it's not... Oh, you bought it in the store? Oh, that's not real. Did you dye it yourself? Did you dye it with, like, real raspberries or something? Like, it has to be, like, all authentic. Like, how did you get that red color? Did you dye it with your own cherries that you squashed with your own feet? Like, basically, like, people are just making it at that level where it's, like... I don't know. It goes too deep. But also, what bothered me about that comment... Not like I was like, oh, I'm so offended. I just kind of, like, rolled my eyes. But, it's like, this is someone who knows us that we see a few times a year.
Did I know that person?
Yeah. But like we see a few times a year, and like obviously we went to the show, which means that we're fans. But then he's like, "Well, no offense to anybody who likes them, but
well, that's the rules.
Is this still a thing?
That's the rules of the internet, man. There's no way that a person can appear to be weak, and by them even commenting is trying to already put someone down. You know, it's just like that's the lameness of it. Really reveals the lameness of humans." You know, I must comment, thus I must critique. That's why I was making a...
But that was also the same person that was, like, sending me direct messages about how to get into New York Comic Con.
But see, this is...
And I'm like, okay, well, I answered you.
It's a messed up world because it's like a lot of people... And I'm not saying that, like, really a lot of the films or videos are being... A lot of the videos are being posted online or anything, like whether a blog or a video. A lot of it is... And I was making comments towards this to other filmmakers or people who are putting content out. Majority of it now is just like reviews. Everyone just wants to say some sort of, everyone's a fucking reviewer now. And it's so easy for them to review. And usually reviews have to be in a way negative. That's like the only way people know how to like communicate these days
yeah.
is being a reviewer, and that usually rounds off to being negative. It's like someone saying like, oh, happy birthday. And you're like, well... And like someone will try to steal your thunder and be like, you know, it's not really that special birthday. Everyone has birthdays.
Well,
10 million people had birthdays today.
Your birthday this year is on a Monday, so that's like the worst day of the week.
Yeah, so they try
whatever,
to fuck
happy
you.
Birthday to you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good luck with that day. You know, good luck with that birthday, by the way.
Oh
you're that age. Oh, that sucks. But
and
happy
now,
birthday.
Like also,
you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Everyone is doing like unboxing.
It's never good enough.
Well,
it's your favorite line, Carolyn. It's never good enough. For people out there, never fucking good enough, man.
But, like, I feel like they have to combat, even if it's great, they have to combat it with, like, something else. Like,
no one wants to put anyone over. That's the wrestling word. No one wants to put anyone over.
Like, let's say you're, like, reviewing, like, a makeup, and it is, like, the greatest foundation that, or whatever, I don't know. You're reviewing something that, like, actually is pretty rad and awesome, but then you have to find one thing that's subpar that you have to be like, and this is one.
I thought it was great, but not as
like,
great.
They'll be
as
like,
I
this is the best makeup I've ever had. And then like, but then they're like, well, I don't.
But I wish.
But I don't really like how the lid of it is purple. You
yeah.
know, like, and it has nothing to actually do with the real makeup.
That's right.
Joe has picked up a guitar in the studio and is now serenading us.
I had that because we were here doing the Nashville thing. I was listening to that song like so many times. That Lumineers.
Hey
we listen, ho. Yeah, when we were listening to Lumineers like before.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot how it goes. But I just remember those chords. I was trying to use the person's voice, the Lumineers voice. Because he has that, ah. He uses, ah. Where's that, right? Let me see if I can remember the first line. I've been trying to do it right. Been living a lonely life. Deep inside my head. A minor. I've been writing a song. Hey! Is that... Na, 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 na. What's the chorus?
I belong with you.
I belong with you. Wait. How's it go? I've been long with you. You've been long with me. You're my sweetheart. All right. It's not concert time. I just got to get that out of my head. Oh, Joe didn't play the whole song. He sucks.
He didn't even know all the lines.
He didn't even know the lyrics of that whole entire song. He didn't play the rhythm in a complete 124 structure. He's not good enough. Not good enough. Not good enough at all.
What do you
he
think
doesn't of, know the names of the chords.
What do you think of those unboxing videos?
When I see one of them, it's fine.
They're like, I'm just going to take this out of the box.
And then it's like, yep, so we just opened this box. Now I'm unwrapping it. Now, as you can tell, it comes with a manual, and then here it is.
It comes with this, a lot of styrofoam.
They have this twisty top. It's very nicely put together. This great styrofoam, very, very strong. I can see why they packaged in this. So when you ship it, it doesn't damage. But I can do without the plastic wrap they have on there. You know, it's a little. How am I supposed to get into it easy? You know what I mean? They should have. Apparently, they used a Korean plastic wrapper instead of a Japanese one.
If they could choke on this.
I can tell that this the styrofoam they used to put the product inside was made in America. It's a lot stronger than a Korean based one. Yes, it's very, very well designed plastic wrapping inside. Oh look, I can take it out. It's wrapped in one piece of plastic, and here it is. Subscribe and follow me on Instagram.
Make sure you like and comment.
Like and comment on that stuff.
Tell your friends.
Ah, yes. Joe and Carolyn review life. That's pretty much what the show. I remember that's what we said on when we're on whatever the I forgot what's his name, the on the free comic book day when we're on that show.
Oh
and
yeah,
they filmed us there.
We should let people know we were at free comic book day this past Saturday.
I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweet home.
And we had a great time at Free Comic Book Day. It's always pretty much Christmas.
Yeah,
for comics.
Massive thank you to Camille Richardson and the amazing comic book shop in in Fairfax, across from George Mason University
at the University
Mall. Great 7-hour days of rocking with people. A lot of people were there.
There were a ton of people.
How you doing?
If those of you who don't know about Free Comic Book Day, it's the first Saturday in May every year, and it's basically like Christmas. You can go to your local comic book store, and you pick up a select set of comics. Not everything is free in the store, but
well, I saw that before. I saw people doing that.
That's why you gotta look out for that. But they do have a select. Usually they'll put off to the side or on a special table all the free comics that you can get every year. And they vary from year to year. But
it is a sad moment when it is a sad moment whenever I do see, you know, a new person, it's usually a girl that goes into the comic book shop or a dad. It's usually a girl, like a normal girl or a dad. They'll go into the comic book shop and they grab like a whole bunch of comics and they take it up to the register and then they ask like, oh, so these are free? And like, no, sir, there's a we have the table back then with the free comics. And they're like, oh, and then there's that moment where like I can see their mind thinking like, oh, should I buy these comics now that they're in my hand or go to the back, you know? And sort of like that was a I saw that happen a whole lot. I mean, it's very deceiving sometimes. Free comic book day, you think all the comics are free, but, you know, they're free comics, you know? And I saw that happen, and it's okay. At least they got whatever gets them into the stores, man.
I mean, were they actually getting sales, or were people just walking away from that being like, oh, never mind?
I mean, I saw sales either way.
Maybe that's how they get more sales on that day.
Whatever gets them...
Just con people into thinking that they're free.
As soon as you get someone in the door, it's always a potential of a sale.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You know what I mean? If they leave the store... I mean, this is literally what happened to me. I was going... I was waiting for... like this couple. Maybe it was a year ago or a couple months. I think it was a year ago. I was going to get tacos with Jesse Campbell. And she was late. And I was just standing there. And I was like, let me go walk around to the stores that are around here. And I don't get pulled by walking to the rug shop. Because I'm like, cool, I'm just going to look at the rugs they have there. And I'm not going to buy anything. Why am I going to buy a rug? My whole mind is like, I'm not going to buy a rug. I'm just here to waste time and look at rugs. But damn, that salesman was so good.
Did you buy a rug?
I went in there. I was like, I'm not looking for a rug, sir. He's like, oh, okay. Do you need a rug? Right? No, I don't really need a rug. It's like, okay, keep me noticed. And he's like, oh, this is a really nice rug. Yeah, it's really nice. It's like, are you sure you don't need something? But yeah. And then the fact that he was reminding me constantly, I was like, maybe I do need something, a rug. And I was like, I don't need a freaking rug. But now that he was so salesman about it, but that wasn't conniving, wasn't negative or anything like that. He's like, oh, we got lots of good rugs. You must have something you can do. I was like, maybe I do. Maybe I do have something. And I was like, thinking maybe I should get a, at that moment, I was like, maybe I should get a rug for my drum kit. So because I remember I played a show before that and my drum kept on moving. So he sparked ideas in my head about what type of maybe I should get a rug for that, so to keep everything from moving. And I was like, you guys probably don't have this. Do you have a rug that I can probably use for my drum set? Let me think, sir. And he goes away. And I'm like, damn, now I'm going to buy a rug? Why am I going to buy a rug? And it's like, and and I was like, oh, we probably don't have anything like that. And then we started conceptually. And I was like, Then I was like, maybe you have something. Like, maybe you just have an under rug I can use or something like that. Like, the ones that go underneath the rug. So I was pitching myself to buy something from his store that he probably doesn't have. And now I challenged him to find something. I was like I was challenging him, do you have something that I could use? Like, well, and he's like, let me think about this. And then all of a sudden he came from the back. He's like, oh, what about this? He came out with this big long rug. This like the rug that goes under the rug that keeps it from
like
moving.
Like a liner?
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that can probably. I was like, yeah, that can probably work, you know? And he's like, okay, how big do you mean? And I was like, I didn't really come in here to buy anything. He's like, well, I'll give you a good deal. I was like, what do you mean by good deal? He's like, $45. And I was like, whoa, I'm not here. I don't feel like buying anything. You
what
know
did
what
you
mean?
Get yourself?
I was like, I don't really need the 45, good deal. Okay, he kept on saying good deal. I was like, sorry, good deal. Can you buy me? I was like, I'm not here to buy any deal. And he goes, well, what size do you need? And I was like, maybe maybe I don't know, maybe like 5x5. Okay, 5x5. Good. All right, I'll get you a good deal for this. I was like, I don't want to make you cut that. Like, no, it's part of the deal. We'll cut it. And then he was like, all right, $45. Like, no, I don't feel like spending $45. I told you. And then he was like, well, $35. No. And he's like, well, what would you feel like paying? I was like, well, I'm not going any. I was like, damn it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to pay anything more than 15 or 20. And he's like, okay, 15. And then he's like, okay, $20. I was like, I'm not really in the mood to. I was like, sir, I'm just here to buy some tacos. I was like, well, I'll cut this for you. It's good. It's good. Run, feel it. It's not nothing more. I was like, all right. I was like, well, $15. And he's like, okay, we'll give $15. And he wrapped it up, and I was like, $15.
You bought it?
And then as soon as I walked out, Jesse Campbell was like waiting by Taco Bamba, and then she can see me like take my rug to my car.
Oh my
and
God.
And then she was like, what did you do, Joe? I was like, I guess I bought a rug.
It's all Jesse's fault, because if she was on time, you would never have wasted your time in the rug store.
I was like, and she was like, you bought a what?
So what? Where's the rug? I've never seen this rug.
It's used for whenever I take the drums out and it doesn't move. So we put it underneath the drum set.
Did you have it at the show at State Theater?
No, because Mike has his own drums.
Oh. But I've never seen you play a set with the rug.
Yeah, because that project didn't happen.
Oh, so this rug that you speak of, does it actually help the drums not go around?
Yeah.
So it's actually, so it's effective.
If you think about it, we could bring that to the conventions. We just stand on that rug.
Is it pretty cushiony?
Yeah, it's like the under rug part of the.
It's like a yoga mat.
Yeah.
So do you think you got a good deal on it still for $15?
I have no idea. I don't even know how much that would actually cost. He just kept saying, I'll give you a good deal. Okay, that's a good deal to me.
Oh my God, Joe. Why do you get in those situations?
I don't always get in a situation like that. It's just a hilarious situation.
Oh my God.
It's not even like a fancy design rug either. And it's just,
well, yeah, usually
it's just gray.
Usually the under part match the floor.
I was pitching that to him too. I was just like, well, it doesn't need to be fancy, sir. It's like, okay, so it doesn't matter. I was like,
he gave it to you for 15, not 20?
I guess so.
Because originally he was like, okay, 20.
But I don't even know how much it would actually cost to do that. He cut it and did everything. I was like, okay, cool.
Maybe he just wanted to make a sale. Sometimes
yeah, he just wanted to make a sale.
People wants to make a sale.
Yeah, he just wanted to make a sale.
I mean, if anything, he won. Because you weren't even supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even have this conversation, part of the conversation start, but that's how things happen.
Doesn't that kind of suck, though? I mean, I'm not, like, blaming Jesse but doesn't it kind of suck when, like, you're waiting for somebody and then, like, it leads to something else and then you end up buying something else?
It's no one's fault but mine, because I could have always said no. But
that's the thing. Strong willpower.
But that's the thing about Free Comic Book Day. You get those people in the store on Free Comic Book Day. They get those free books, but there's all these other books that are selling themselves.
Or they want statues.
Yeah, they're selling themselves because they're in the store and they already have comics in their hand that they know is great. And then they can look around and be like, well, these other comics that are not free are amazing. And then they come to the Curl Studio table and they're like, wow, look at all this other amazing stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what Free Comic Book Day is all about. How you doing?
It's about getting people in the store.
How you doing?
How you doing?
That's actually one of the phrases I said a whole lot there. It's like, hey, how you doing?
I was wondering, how you doing? Maybe if I should get those shirts and just be like, how you doing?
The color?
The blue color. Because that's already the Curl.
I think they don't have
color.
The how you doing. I think they just have the soft.
No, they have how you doing.
You should get the how you doing.
But I don't really love that shirt as much. Because I'd rather just dress like Enzo Amore.
Like, with the leather, the white leather jacket.
Or have like a leopard print. I think I would look good in that outfit.
Probably.
And then like have some chains.
It's a whole lot of chains and gold. That's what you're going to have at New York, at all the comic conventions.
I don't know if I'll do it for all the cons. I mean, what do you guys think? Maybe you can message me. I'm at Carolyn Bilevsky at Twitter and on Instagram, and you'll be able to find me online.
So that's the thing with all these posts.
Let me know who you want me to dress up as, because for a while, a whole bunch of people were saying that I should be Tyler Breeze. And I mean, I'm not against doing Tyler Breeze, but now I'm kind of into the Enzo Amore. I'm not really like a cosplaying type person, because it looks like Joe's going to serenade us again with his guitar skills.
I've been trying to do it right. Wait, if I put me up with the... I've been trying to do it right. Been living a lonely life. I've been deep inside my head. Na-na-na-na-na-na. But I can write a song. Where's that echo? Yeah. What's the chorus?
I belong with you.
I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweetheart. I belong with you. You belong with me. You're my sweet. Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh! Show show me family. Oh, the world that I can be. I don't know anymore. That's it. Live, ladies and gentlemen, live. Maybe at the end of every song, every show, we'll just have a sing along.
You just play guitar like Maren.
We'll just have a sing along at the end. Boomer lives.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really like a cosplay type person when it comes down to it. I mean, I think that when other people do it, it's really cool, but I am trying to concentrate on my own comic career and be a professional artist. So I want to
and make original stuff.
And make original stuff. So I don't want to like dress up like other people, you know? Yeah. Like, I want to be myself
because
and represent
you're not a,
me.
You're not a cover band.
But I do think it would be fun to dress like Enzo. But maybe I'll do like my own
what?
Spin
At least,
on it.
Yeah. It's not like you're going to, you know, who knows? Do whatever you like.
Okay, what if I shave half my head and put curls?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? I'll do like a leopard print.
Maybe you can have curls do that. Curls can show her support.
Yeah.
Curls can show her support for that.
How you doing?
That's how it is. Oh yeah.
Bada boom.
Bada boom.
Realest guys in the room.
Realest podcast in the room. Ending it fresh. Ending it fresh. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I did go see ending this show. And I'm going to end this show with a PSA. The proudest PSA that I can ever say. We saw Captain America Civil War. Lovely movie. Very, very, very lovely. It's a very lovely, lovely, lovely movie. But I had a massive annoyance. And it wasn't the movie. It was the mothers. We just celebrated Mother's Day. And I tweeted this the other day. On Mother's Day, on the Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Do not bring your newborn to the movie theater. If your baby does not speak English at this point, or does not speak any language and just does Google Gaga, it is not not ready to watch a PG-13 movie and cry about everything that's happening.
It's not ready for the violence.
Not ready for the violence or the romance or the little subtle nuances of amazing storytelling, you know what I mean? It's not ready for any of that. It's not ready for the love angle. They did not already invest almost 10 years of watching Marvel movies to enjoy the subtle story arcs that are happening. Do not take your baby in there. Am I wrong for not liking your baby for crying and ruining scenes in the movie because they're making a loud noise and you're too busy trying to hush and it's just going, "Whoa, go, go, go!" It doesn't matter if I'm being mean. You're being mean and disrespectful for doing that. Do not take your child in there. People may think I'm anti-baby, and you might be right. You might be right, but it depends on the situation.
It's just like wrong place, wrong time. babies should not be at Civil War Captain America.
When I'm watching a crucial scene during Captain America where they're telling some amazing exposition and emotional talk, I do not want to hear your baby's opinion. I don't care. Take your baby out. Don't even bring your baby in. Do not bring your baby in the movie. That's a bad idea. It's a horrible, horrible,
basically,
horrible idea.
Humans that cannot comprehend should not be in the theater.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
If you're like a child, if you're like a child that can understand like Alvin and the Chipmunks, then that movie is made for those children. But if you're a baby, you can't even understand a G-rated movie, so why would you be in a PG-13
movie? Why are you wasting your time and my time in a jam-packed theater? If I was sitting behind you, I would say, excuse me, go! Don't do that. Don't do that to us, man.
Let's bleep out.
We paid our money, and I know you paid your money, but you wasted it. You wasted it because I saw you out there. Now you're trying to hush your baby up in the exit way, which didn't have an exit, and now you're stuck. And now you're stuck, and you had to go, and now you missed the movie. But then you ruined crucial scenes for other people. But still, great movie. Great movie. Great movie all the time. Really enjoyed it. It was very, very, very lovely.
How you doing?
How you doing? This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. AstrayProductions.com. Check out my work at JoeCarbeo.com. Also, one-shots.com. MondayMistress.com. GoAstray.tumblr.com. All these .coms. Check out Carolyn's comic strip, Curls. Comes out every Monday. Curls-studio.com/curls. Also, KarenBelefsky.com. Check us out on social media. Social media!
We're on Twitter and Instagram.
Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook.
At Carolyn Belefsky, at Astray J. What else is left?
Well,
social media!
You can review us as we review life.
That's right.
We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, so check out all of our past episodes. If this is your first episode and you want to check out more, we have a whole bunch in the archives. You don't have to go in order. You can just find a topic that you like, that you want to listen to, and check out more of our shows. So that's always exciting. Endless possibilities with the Carolyn and Joe Show.
That's right. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
How you doing? Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.